Hey, everybody. Good to see all of you. One thing with Johanna, too, is she'll oversee a discipleship as well, not just connections, but all the discipleship portion of our church, which we believe is really important. And so I would encourage you, I didn't ask this of Johanna, Nate, but they'll be, if you don't mind being out in the lobby, and stop by and say hi to her and just meet her after church today. So just real quick, before we dive into the Word of God, last year sometime, I approached the church board and asked for a sabbatical this summer, where I would take, I was going to take 2 to 2.5 months off, time of relaxing and refreshing, get vision and direction. And they graciously extended that to me. And so the plan was, is I was going to start today and then come back in August. But with the hiring of a new associate pastor, I felt it'd be kind of weird saying, hey, welcome, see ya in 2 months, you know. So we are postponing that until next summer that I'm going to do that. But however, the board really insisted that I take a few weeks off in June, and so they want to get rid of me for some reason, but so for the next 3 weeks, I will not be here. I'm going to be taking 3 weeks off, but we have a guest missionary next week, a guy named Chris Peterson. He's an amazing person, and you'll be really blessed by him. And then on Father's Day, Ray Weed is going to be coming and preaching the word on Father's Day. And then June 29th, Johanna will be sharing. So we are wrapping up our series today called Entrusted. And what this is we believe that God has given us gifts. Every single one of us has gifts and talents, treasure, all these different things from God, and he's entrusted us with these things, and he's asked us to be good stewards of what he has given us. And so we've looked over the last 6 weeks, and we're wrapping it up today, and then we're going to be starting a series. When I get back, we're going to start a series through the book of Philippians. We're going to go chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the book of Philippians. But he said, what we talked about is God has entrusted us with time. He's entrusted us with money or treasure. Entrusted us with talents. All of us have talents. Entrusted us with the gospel, to share the gospel with others, specifically to share that gospel with our family. And then he's entrusted us with different relationships. And last week we spoke on the marriage relationship. What does that look like to be? And both Bev and I team taught, and we talked about love and respect, what it looks like in a marriage relationship. And today, I want to wrap it up by that God has entrusted us to be good stewards of prayer. And we may think that that is odd to think God's entrusted us with prayer, but prayer is a gift. It's a gift from God that God has invited us to go into the throne room and make requests to him, to talk to God, which is an amazing thought. That we've been invited, Hebrews talks about this, that we've been invited into the throne room of grace, and we could come boldly into that throne room and make our request made known to God. In the past, I mean, people say, well, I got to go through a mediator, I got to go through a priest or a prophet or whatever. No, us, you and I, can go boldly into and talk to God. What an amazing responsibility and privilege and honor to do that. You know, the disciples were following Jesus, and they saw Jesus do all kinds of things. They saw him, you know, turn water into wine, walking on water, taking a couple loaves of bread and fish and multiplying it and feeding thousands and thousands, healing the sick, raising the dead. I mean, incredible stuff. And they're disciples. A disciple is to just to follow their teachers, to follow the rabbi, to walk closely behind him. And so when you're following a teacher and you're following your rabbi, you're asking questions, well, teach me how to do this, teach me how to do that and learn from him. And out of all the things they could have asked, like, man, teach me how to, that whole water to wine thing, that gig can get me some cash, man. That's a really good deal. Or walking on water, that's a pretty cool thing. And all those things they could have asked to learn from Jesus, but they don't ask that. It says, teach us to pray. Because they saw a direct connection when Jesus would often go away to separate himself from the people, from the disciples, and he would go away and pray. And when he prayed, power would fall and follow him. And so they said, man, teach us to pray. And so what I want us to do today is like look at what it means to pray, how to have a prayer life, how to pray, because prayer, especially if you never really prayed before, you're like, well, how do I pray? What should I say? What should I do? Or if maybe you've come from a religion where there were certain, you had to say certain words and certain method and different things into how to pray. I'm not going to get into those particulars. I'm going to talk about five prayers that we can pray, that God's entrusted us to pray, that will grow in our relationship with God, and God will minister to us. So that's what we're going to look at today. So are you with me? Yes, I'm with you. Thanks, man. Thank you. So, are you with me? Are you guys ready?
Yes,
yes, yes, yes. All right. Okay, if you're taking notes, first one is this. We are entrusted to pray prayers of praise. I can't think of the one of the greatest privileges and honors we have when we pray is to praise God. To praise God. When the disciples, in Luke 11, it says this. This is talking about when the disciples come to him and ask him to pray, teach him to pray. He says this. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And it goes on. Hallowed be your name. That word hallowed, holy. Holy is your name. Reverence is your name. It's a separation. It's when we come into a time of prayer, we need to realize, man, we are talking to God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Holy is his name. And I understand most of us when we pray, I mean, sometimes we're like, help! You know, that's our prayer. That's like, oh, God, get me out of this. Save me from this. You know, heal me from this. And we're desperate to get to that need that we have directly upon our heart. And so we want to give that need to him. But man, I would encourage us, begin your prayers with praise. Recognize who you're talking to. Recognize that you're in a holy place, that you're coming before the God of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we see this in both the Old and New Testament. Listen to these scriptures. Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then you go to the New Testament, and it says this in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips and the knowledge of his name. And then Revelation 5, where it's a picture of the throne room of God, and it says this, and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Oh man, when we get to heaven and we're standing there with thousands upon thousands of saints and the angels, and they're all bowing down and they're worshiping, and it says the elders are taking off their crowns and they're laying it before God, and there's this atmosphere of worship that you're just caught up in. And that's what we're going to be doing. Why not practice that now? That, man, I'm entering into the throne room of God, and I'm just going to be worshiping. I mean, these songs that we're singing on Sunday morning are not songs about us. They're songs about Him. And they're not about, oh, I like that. Oh, I'm not sure about that. So, come on. We're offering a sacrifice of praise, of worship to God, and just glorifying the name that is above every single name. And so when we come and we enter in and we pray, man, begin to with praise, begin to with thanksgiving and just awe of worship of who God is. So it starts out with, man, we are entrusted with to pray prayers of praise. Next, we are entrusted to pray prayers of confessions. So going back to where the disciples said, teach us to pray. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So, last week we talked about marriage relationships and how a wife is to respect her husband, a husband's to love his wife. But I also mentioned that if, and this is directly speaking directly to the husbands, if you have sin in your heart, if you've sinned against your spouse, it says your prayers are hindered. And that's a huge thing. Your prayers are hindered. And so when we come to God and we are praying, we need to say, Lord, examine my heart. See if there's anything within me. Is there any sin within me that is hindering the move of God? I just talked about how the importance of communion is, taking the Lord's Supper, and just this is a holy, reverent moment. And Paul dives into this and gives instruction about this moment in 1 Corinthians 11. He says this, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Dude, that is a huge verse, is it not? If I'm coming and I'm picking up this communion here, and I know I have sin in my heart, I know I have stuff within me, and I'm neglecting to confess that, I am drinking this in an unworthy manner. I'm eating this in an unworthy manner. And I could get sick or I could even die. You say, well, Dane, that's pretty harsh. I'm just reading what the Bible says. What it says, that we are to examine ourselves. So there's this confession within us that we are to confess and just say, Lord, just see if there's anything within me that is wrong. I mean, David prayed these prayers. He says, in Psalm 51, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So when we come to pray, we say, Lord, examine my heart, see if there's any iniquity within me. Now, I need to bring some clarification here. This is not about getting saved every time you pray. It's not about losing your salvation. When you come to Christ the first time and you come to Him and say, man, I'm a sinner, I need you, save me, make me a new person, I want to be born again, you are born again. And at that moment, you are what is called justified. We call it the justification is where we get that. It's in the book of Romans. We are justified just as if we have not sinned, because Jesus took the penalty of our sin upon Himself, and us who confess in Jesus are now justified. We stand right before God. But from there, we move into what is called sanctification. Sanctification is means to be set apart, to walk in holiness. And so, how many realize in your life, since you've received Christ, that you still sin? It's all right. Those who don't raise your hand, you're dealing with the sin of pride right now. We still struggle with sin. I mean, the Apostle Paul says it. In Romans 7, Paul says, man, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. And the very thing I don't want to do, I end up doing. I mean, we could all relate to that, right? I don't want to do that, But I end up doing that. I go back to those thoughts that I have, that attitude that I have, that spirit that I have, those words that I said, that lifestyle, and I regret. I go back to that. And then, oh, I know God wants me to walk in obedience here. He wants me to go after this here, but I'm not doing that. We all struggle with that. It's a struggle within us. When I growing up under my dad, who was a pastor, there was this guy. Every Sunday, he would give his heart to the Lord. Every Sunday, he's like, oh, I got to give my heart to the Lord. It's not like he lost his salvation just because he sinned during the week. It's like, no, you're realizing, and it's a correction, like I just mentioned. It's a correction of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's not a condemnation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's an important thing to say, because Paul, after he says this, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. The very thing I don't want to do, I end up doing. He says this in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a powerful phrase. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We receive correction from the Holy Spirit, but we're not living in the condemnation of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus took that. He took our penalty upon himself. And so when I pray, when I start with praise, and then I go, God, would you just begin to work in my life? Search me, know me. If there's anything within me, I confess that to you. Which leads to number three. We are entrusted to pray prayers for others. Look at these scriptures that encourage us to pray for others. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Ephesians 6:18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has a great power, and it's working. So, if you are going through a difficult time in your life, ask somebody to pray with you. There's power in that. There's encouragement in that. There's help in that. We are invited to pray for one another. That's why here at church we have prayer partners every Sunday. Come up and, man, I'm going through something. And there's this, would you pray with me? Would you pray with me through this? There's something encouraging about that. And it blesses you, it blesses them, but ultimately God is right there in the center of that. And that God wants to move in and through that. We have opportunity for praying for one another here at this church because we have a prayer team that receives a weekly email of all the prayer needs that we're aware of. It's a devotional, then all this, hey, these people need prayer. And so you get this email and you just pray. And if you want to be a part of that email list, we have a sign up in the lobby. You just click on the QR code, it'll take you right there, you sign up, you'll get a response this week. But there's something powerful about praying for one another. When we were building the building, our kids' wing, we brought in the guy to give us some blinds. And it was a friend of mine, a guy I've known for years. I'm going to grab some water. Excuse me. Pay no attention. So I called up this guy, and he used to teach at the school where my wife taught. And then he left there, and now he's doing blinds. And so I hadn't seen him and talked to him in like 5 or 6 years. And so I said, hey, man, how you doing? What's going on? And he said, you know what? Your wife did something for me that changed my life forever. He goes, I was at one of the lowest points in my life because I just found out that the school wasn't renewing my contract. Basically, I'm fired. And I was in the school lunchroom or whatever where the staff meet and stuff and have lunch together. I was in there and I was distraught. I couldn't believe that I'm not coming back. I don't know what I'm going to do. And in walks your wife. And she goes, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, bubbly Bev. And he says, "Not good. I just found out they're not renewing my contract." And she goes, "Well, let's pray." And she stopped right there and prayed for him. And he says, "I never felt peace like I felt peace right at that moment. And I knew it was going to be okay. I knew that God was with me. I knew he was going to lead me. I knew he was going to guide me." Praying for one another. Don't just say, "I'm going to pray for you," and never pray for him. Stop if he says something and you say, "Oh, I want to pray for you. In fact, let's just do it right now. I don't care where you are at. Just stop and pray for that person." There's something powerful that happens when we pray for one another. Then that leads to the next point. Entrusted to pray for ourselves. This can be really easy for some, and it can be really difficult for others, praying for yourself, because you can feel like you're selfish if you pray for yourself. But it's not true. Going back to the Lord's Prayer, man, I don't know why I'm losing my voice. Pray for me. Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us our daily bread. We are to come to him with our needs. Come to him and say, "Lord, I am in the midst of it. I need your help." Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." If you're anxious in your life, man, pray. Give thanks and allow, and it says in the next verse, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." Come to him and pray. Now, lost my train of thought here. So, when our kids were little, they would often come and talk to us and say, "Hey, would you hear about this or this?" And so as a parent, we are very much in tune to when our kids are hurting or going through it. There's no pain like kid pain, right? There's no pain like kid pain. And so when your kids are hurting, they'll say, no matter what it is, they'll come to you and say, "Hey, Dad, Mom, I got this, I got that," you know. And when they're little, it's easy for a kid to come to a parent and say, "Help." But when they become teenagers, it's a whole nother level. It's like, clam up, "You're the enemy, I hate you, give me money." You know, that's kind of how it is. And so, as a parent, we're like, "Man, would you just, what's going on? How's your life? You know, open up to me." And like, "Fine, good, you know, give me cash." You know, so it's hard to engage with their teenagers. And so that's how it was with us growing up. And so there were moments when they would do it, when they would open up and start talking to us. And it was always right when we were going to bed. It's like at 10 o'clock at night, knock on the door, "Mom, Dad, can we talk?" And Bev's like, "Yes!" I'm like, "Dude, it's 10. I'm old, you know, 10 o'clock. And they would come in and they would sit down on the end of the bed and they would just start, you know, nonchalant, just talking about their day or whatever. And then they would get right into the heart of it. And man, we were right there engaged. We wanted to soak it in. We wanted to hear. We wanted to listen. We wanted to be engaged with them through whatever they're sharing. It didn't matter that it was turning into midnight, 1 o'clock. It was our teenagers talking to us. And they're just sharing with us. And me as a parent who gets tired, who can be, "She wasn't that good for you anyway, you know." Man, I just loved it. But how much more God wants to hear your request? He never gets tired. He's never looking at his watch. He's like, dang, you're finally here to come talk to me. It's incredible that God wants to hear my prayers and wants to hear my needs, wants to hear my concerns. And we are invited just to go and say, man, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with doubt. I'm struggling with fear. I'm struggling with anxiety. I'm struggling with worry. I'm struggling with finances. I'm struggling with health. Lord, I just give this to you. And look what Jesus says in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you'll learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. Come, Jesus, come to me. Come to me, all who are laboring and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Man, come to him. Come to him and just say, don't be shy. Don't be saying, well, I don't want to make it. Oh, don't allow that to be in your thought process. He's a father wanting to hear from his sons. He's a father who wants to hear from his daughter. Come to him. Which leads to the fifth one. Entrusted to pray prayers for the Holy Spirit's power. So in this entrusted series, we talked about entrusted with time, talents, treasure, relationships, the gospel, and now prayer. We cannot do this unless we have the Holy Spirit's power. You need the Holy Spirit working in and through your life. In Acts 1:8, it says this, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses, and to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, to a bunch of disciples who ran away from him, now you're going to receive power. And we see this in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit comes upon the new believers. They're praying together. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. All these people are wondering what's going on because they hear the language being spoken, and they hear the gospel being spoken in their language. They're all wondering what's going on. And Peter, who denied Jesus a few days earlier, steps up and preaches a sermon, and over 3,000 people get saved. How come? The power of the Holy Spirit. There's power in the Holy Spirit. And so when you pray, say, God, I need strength. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fill me. The Bible says in Ephesians that we are to be filled daily with the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Allow the Holy Spirit to empower us. Allow the Holy Spirit to give us gifts and to direct our path. And say, Lord, would you lead me and empower me with the Holy Spirit? It's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift that God wants to give us. And he wants us to be empowered with that gift, to be witnesses, and to be used for his glory. So walk under the power of the Holy Spirit every single day and say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your guidance. I need your power. So there's five areas of what we are to pray for. We are to pray for praise. We are to pray confessions. We are to pray for one another. We are to pray for ourselves. And we are to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not limited to these five things, but I think these five things, if we put these five things regular in our prayer life, man, our prayer life is going to go to another level. We're going to get into a relationship with God like we've never seen before, and we'll experience him at a whole nother level in our life. So how do we do that? I shared with you the type of prayers. I want to give you really quick how we can do that. So in Exodus chapter 33 is where you have the Israelites. They are in the wilderness, and they set up a tent of meeting. The tent of meeting was the place where Moses would go and meet with God. And so listen to what it says in Exodus 33, verse 7 through 9. I know I've jumped ahead here, so Gavin, if you can find that. It says this. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far away from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Where was the tent of meeting? Outside the camp. That's important. The tent of meeting was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, All the people would rise up, and each would stand at the tent of the door and watch Moses until he'd gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. So three things real quick, and I don't have them in your notes, but three things that we can learn from this. Find a tent of meeting. I know that many of you can say, well, I pray daily. I pray while I'm driving. We can tell because you're closing your eyes and you're all over the road. We're praying while you're driving. Oh, God, help them not to pray while they're driving. You know, some of you are praying while you're driving. You're like, man, I'm worshiping. I got Caleb on. We're worshiping, whatever. Wonderful. That's praying throughout the day. But let me encourage you to find a tent of meeting that is outside the camp. And what I mean by outside the camp is outside of where the distraction was. Inside the camp, Moses was distracted. He was busy, he was working, he was leading, all kinds of concerns. He went outside the camp to meet with God. And so in our lives, man, we carry around these phones that it can be a distraction. We carry around worries, we carry around all kinds of things. I would encourage you to not take your phone. I understand on your phone, I get this, on your phone is your Bible lesson plan, there's the Bible app and all that stuff. But it also opens up opportunity. Oh, I wonder what's going on in Instagram. Get a physical Bible. We have some here. You can take one home. Get a physical Bible. Go to a place in your house where there's no distractions. Your tent, call it the tent of meeting. If somebody say, where are you going, Dad? I'm going to the tent of meeting. I'm going to this place, and I'm going to meet with God. Make it at a regular point in your life every single day. Every day at this time, I'm at the tent of meeting, and I am meeting with God. And just allow God to work in your life, and don't allow... I understand parents who have little kids, your tent of meeting is the bathroom. I get it. They're knocking on there, what you doing in there, Mom? You know, Johnny spilled some juice. I'm at the tent of meeting. I'm at the tent of meeting. You know, and just find that place. And then second, go with the intent that I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to the tent of meeting to meet with God. Moses went to the tent of meeting to meet with God. That's your goal. So you're going there. You have your Bible. You have your prayer, these five things. You know, like, I'm do this. I have prayer list, whatever. I'm going to meet with God here. That is my goal. And make it a regular. This, it's a holy moment, just like this. A holy moment. Every single day, this is my holy time with God. I have an appointment with the King of the universe right here, right now. No distractions for the next, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, however, that's important. That's the most important part of your day, right there. And you're going with the intent to meet with God. And third, expect to hear from God. It says that when Moses entered into the tent, then the cloud fell. When you enter into that room, that place, and say, I have an intent to hear from God, God's going to show up and he's going to speak to you. Well, how so? Open your Bible. Begin to read. Say, Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to me today. You say, well, I just want to hear the audible voice of God. Read your Bible out loud. There you go. God's word. Let God speak to you and just allow him to be transferred into this place, into his presence, into just seeking his face. And so I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I want to pray for us today and just be encouraged by this. Would you stand with me? Lord, our desire is to know you, to grow in relationship with you. You've asked us to be people of prayer, to praise you, to confess sins to you, to pray for others, to pray for ourselves, to pray for the Holy Spirit's power. I pray that this week we'll see lives transformed, that they'll come and encounter you this week, and that you will hear from heaven and hear our prayers and move by your glory and power in our lives. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.